Freeze Frame, by Peter May, continued. Disc 2.
Chapter 7. The brief rush of traffic following the arrival of the ferry had long since subsided. The sky had darkened, the last of its light squeezed out by the rain clouds. Le Bourg, the small town at the top of the hill above Port Tudy, was deserted. Lights shone in a few shop windows. Le Relais de Mousquetaire, the Bleuté, the Illetel hairdresser, on the square opposite the war monument and the church. Enzo lost his way several times in the narrow streets, terraces of gabled houses with steeply pitched roofs and dormer windows painted pink and white and brick red and blue. Finally he saw a road sign for Port Mélite. After he left the town and the Écomarché supermarket on its outskirts, place names and arrows painted on crumbling road surfaces replaced conventional road signs. His jeep, with its canvas roof and brutal suspension, proved draughty and damp and noisy as he steered it east through the gathering gloom along the island's north coast. This was flat, dull countryside, punctuated by the odd stand of trees and occasional clusters of isolated cottages. Finally the road turned into a long descent to the tiny village of Port Mélite, a small group of houses huddled around a short sweep of sandy beach. Through the rain and the gloom, Enzo could just see the lights of the mainland in the far distance across the strait. He parked next to a white car beside two concrete benches overlooking the beach. The name of the village was painted on a stone set into the grass, an arrow pointed east. Les Grands Sables, 400 meters. He found the house about 20 meters along the dirt track leading to the big sands. It stood behind a wall and blue-painted fence, half obscured by tall, overgrown shrubs and bushes. It was a square, white bungalow with blue shutters. A light burned in one of the windows at the front, warm and welcoming in the cold and wet of the approaching night. It had no real sense of what to expect of Jane Killian, and yet Enzo found himself taken by surprise. She was petite, 5'2" or 5'3", and slim-built. Curling brown hair with blonde highlights was cut short, tight into the nape of her neck, giving her an almost boyish appearance, an illusion aided by the way she dressed. Loose-fitting jeans, a pale blue, open-necked shirt out over narrow hips, well-worn high tops. But there was nothing masculine about her. She had full, almost sensuous lips, and below dark eyebrows, large, bright eyes, brown-flecked with orange, almost amber.